Like I said, I just want to say a few words this evening. One of the biggest obstacles that the Israelites had as they were beginning their life as the people of God, as they left Egypt and even as they went into the Promised Land, is what they wanted was a visible God. They weren't satisfied with a God who did wonderful things for them, but they couldn't see. And it's kind of, sadly ironic, because this is probably about the most visible God ever was, is when he was sending plagues and parting the Red Sea and traveling as a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke. But that wasn't enough for the Israelites. They wanted something more visible. They wanted something more tangible than just that. And you see, when they get to Mount Sinai and they make the golden calf, what's going through their mind isn't, we want some new God to serve. What they want is some visible manifestation of the God that they already worshipped. And so in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 4, you see that kind of language displaying what it is that they wanted. Speaking of Aaron, it says, he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. You weren't going to convince any Israelite there that their God was some kind of cow. They didn't think that God was actually a cow. They didn't think that this was some new God other than the gods they were already worshiping. What they wanted and what they got from Aaron was some sort of visible representation, so some sort of visible manifestation of God, because it wasn't enough to them to serve an invisible God. Now, sadly, today things aren't too much more different than that. People still want visible God. People still serve visible gods. And how many times have you heard Christians say that if I could just see God, that would solve the problem of my lack of faith that I have from time to time? If he just appeared to me, then I'd really believe. Then I wouldn't sin the way that I sin now. Then I wouldn't have all of these questions if God just showed himself to me in some kind of visible way. Well, the answer is no different now than it was then. God demands faith. God isn't going to show himself in that kind of way. One of the great passages in my mind that deals with this kind of issue is in Judges chapter 3. And this is in the story of Ehud, who, if you remember, has gone in to the king, King Eglon, the very fat king. He's gone in, he's deceived the guards, and he's in there alone with the king, and he stabs him and is sneaking away. And as he is sneaking away, in Judges chapter 3 and verse 26, it says, Ehud escaped while they delayed, and he passed beyond the idols and escaped to Sirah. When he arrived, he sounded the trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel went down with him from the hill country, and he was their leader. And he said to them, follow after me, for the Lord has given your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. So they went down after him and seized the fords of the Jordan against the Moabites and did not allow anyone to pass over. And they killed at that time about 10,000 of the Moabites, all strong, able-bodied men. Not a man escaped. Now, the significance of this passage in this discussion of visible God versus invisible God is the way that this little story is set up. You have Ehud escaping completely unseen. And as he is escaping completely unseen, it says he's walking right by a bunch of idols. Ehud is escaping as he's walking by all of these visible gods, and not one of them sees him or does anything about the fact that he is escaping. Well, he escapes, he gets up to the hill country, he sounds the trumpet, he leads the battle, and he says, God has given your enemies into your hand. The Lord, Yahweh, the God of heaven, the invisible God, the one you can't see, he is going to lead you to victory. And what happens, but the story ends, with not one man of the Moabites escaping. And so you have a pretty clear contrast between what these visible gods can do. They can't see one person who's walking right in front of them, and what the invisible God of heaven can do, which is not one escapes, even though he is unseen. And how powerful is that contrast? That this God that we serve, he doesn't have to be seen by us to be powerful in our sight. Yet what happens when the Israelites, the Jewish people, finally get their wish, and God does reveal himself in the most clear way that he ever will, or ever has, or ever will again until the judgment? Well, what happens when God reveals himself that way is they take the person that God is revealing himself as, and they hang him on a tree. They crucify him because he said that he was God. Yet it is because of that sacrifice that we are here. It is because of that revelation of God that we are here. They finally have received what they wanted, and what they do is reject that. And I think there should be a reminder for us when we face those moments of doubt, when we face those difficulties, when we do find ourselves thinking, if God would just show himself, then we'd be the kind of Christian that we should be. What you see in passages like the story in Judges 3, what you see in the incarnation of Christ and the rejection of Christ, is that seeing is not believing after all. But in the biblical picture, believing is seeing. When you really believe, when you really have faith, you can see the invisible in a way that people of this world can't. You can see God's truth, even though the world sees it as folly. You can see God's strength, even though the world sees it as weakness. You can see God's Son, even though he was rejected by the people who saw him firsthand. And it brings to mind that passage that I come back to over and over and over again, where Paul is saying that we don't look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Because the things that are seen are transient. The things that are unseen are eternal. And that needs to be our focus. That needs to be our aim. That needs to be our goal. To look to those things, because that is where our hope needs to lie. And when we see those things, when we believe those things, we will have a vision far clearer than the wisest person of the wisdom of this world would ever have. And that's the hope that we offer this evening as well, as an invitation, as an exhortation to anyone who needs to make their life right with God. If there is some way that we can help you be a person of stronger faith, who can have more belief that will allow you to see all the better, won't you come this evening while we stand and sing?